Oh, can you wait to use the restroom? Oh, but Scott Beck, I'm hoping you're allowed. Come on in, Scott.
Hi there. City Earth.
Did you get a drink?
No, I don't even know.
We just want to check and
Maybe
see.
after.
No, that's fine. Here we go.
Man, I'm pretty hard chatters doing
Exactly.
that.
Well, welcome everybody. Let's just start by just introducing ourselves and saying which town we're from. That would be helpful, and then we'll do online as well. Pat, you want to? Jen, you want to start?
Sure.
Say hello to everyone.
Yep. I'm Jen Virtual. I'm office manager at NVDA. Neither you.
Chad Whitehead, I'm town manager at St. Johnsbury. Will Jones, selectman and water.
Mike Bickhead, selectman of Greensboro.
Brett Smith, Rob.
Fred Starr, I'm at large director for nonprofits, live in Waterford.
Steve Amos, Wheelup.
Brian Goodridge, Olivet.
Mike Straight, town manager, Brighton.
Paul Ruhoff Sutton, and Adam's on here with me.
Perfect.
He'll introduce us
Yeah,
in a
we'll do
minute.
the.
Yeah, Mark Whitworth, New York.
Scott Beck, St. Johnsbury.
Oh, Colburn, Robert.
Dave Snedeker, immediate director of the market.
Cynthia Stewart, I'm from Concord. And let's do the employees in the back first. We'll go online. Good evening, Carter Finnegan, our coordinator at NVDA. Liam.
Liam Abate, JS Planner of NVDA.
Kathleen Driscoll, regional planner of NVDA.
Hey everyone, Molly Doctor, regional planner and emergency coordinator. And I'm getting like this shadow. So, Jen, can you see the names to call them off? So I'm not seeing them. Let's see. Looks like the top left-hand corner.
Yep.
Eileen, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. Eileen Bowen from Wheelock.
Adam Brueggemann Sutton.
Thanks, Adam. Welcome, Ken.
Ken Lindsley from Danville.
Welcome, Ken.
And then the furthest corner,
we have Carolyn from Sheffield.
Got Carolyn Crankshaw from Sheffield.
Welcome, Carolyn.
Thank you.
Beth.
We have Beth.
Hi, I'm Beth Torpey. I'm the water quality planner for NBDA.
Welcome, Beth.
Yeah, Kim.
Right. Hi, yeah, I'm the zoning administrator in Jay.
Yeah, Larry. Can you hear us, Larry?
Larry Thompson from Brownington.
Welcome, everyone. Whoops, we got Greg from Lunenburg. Want to say hello?
Do you want to go out?
Good evening.
Good evening, maybe it's everybody. And then Owen and Andy just came in. Say hi.
Yes. Hello, I'm Owen Davey from General Store Working and that part of NBDA.
Hi, I'm Andy McLean, also in NBDA of New York.
And Tina?
I'm Tina Gagne, business manager at NBDA.
You're perfect. Are there any updates to the agenda that you'd like to add? Hearing none. Public comments or any public comments? Okay. And so the minutes were actually sent out, and I'm looking for a motion to accept them, or and then we will in a second, and then we'll have further discussion.
Accept the minutes.
Thanks, Fred.
Sorry.
Like seconded. So further discussion or changes to the minutes? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We are going to have a presentation for June North. So if you want to come up, you're going to do this. They're going to tell us about this wonderful space. This is part of the project that Annie's been working on with Owen and now NVDA's involved. This great space and the work they're doing.
Where should I stand and think about that?
I think you're right there. Yeah. If you can see it from there.
Yeah.
How about right here?
Right there?
Oh, there's nobody here.
Like my back to you?
Yeah. Any
joking? Just a real question. I don't want to put you behind me. Well, hi everyone. I'm Annie McLean with MBDA and now Jamarth Morgan. We have a little presentation for you, mixed in with a little bit of a fun quiz. So I'm going to pass it out to the folks that are here. If you have a phone, you're going to scan the QR code at the appropriate time. Owen, welcome to me. Are we good with our sharing? All right. Good. Yeah. So those of you joining from Zoom, you don't see that. If you have a phone and you want to either go to menti.com and type in that code, or you can scan the QR code on the screen. I'll leave it up for a few minutes. Is that working for folks at home? Gonna assume yes. All right.
Okay.
Moving right along.
What's the new Do North.
So yes, many of you might be wondering, this is kind of a new venture for MBDA. We're going to tell you a little bit about it. We're going to ask you some questions, help you get to know the space and the programming that we run through here. So JUNORTH is a hub for events and entrepreneurship-focused programming in the Northeast Kingdom. It's obviously the physical space that you're all in right now, but it's lots more of different types of programs, events, community partnerships. We're going to tell you a little bit more about that. Here's your first question. We're going to have a little bit of a toggle back and forth here. Oh, people at home are already voting. Wow. Okay. So, which of the following is not a profession held by a member of JUNORTH?
Number one, animator for the Geico Gecko. Number two, photography wrangler for Getty Images. Number three, a Vermont Department of Transportation safety inspector. Or four, a memoirist.
Got a few minutes, a few seconds. We do have stuff to get through. Voting. All right, we're probably gonna show the answer now. If you haven't voted, there'll be more questions.
Whoa.
That's you. Is that you?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, so what's different about JUNORTH? Why are we all here? We're not poking fun at the university. We they've been a great partner. But as of March 1st, NVDA is now the parent of JUNORTH Co-working, which was started by Vermont State University in 2018. And NVDA has been a huge partner. I've had state, federal, local partners, a lot of great folks that helped this place become what it is. And again, we're going to talk more about some of the legacy programming that we're going to keep and then some of the new stuff that we're headed for.
Okay.
I'm gonna stand over here so I'm not affecting.
Yeah.
Okay. Owen, chime in here, but Kickstart NEK is our 10-week business accelerator program. It's kind of the flagship program started at JUNORTH in 2019.
Yep.
We are now in our fourth and fifth cohorts. We have about 12 to 15 businesses in each cohort. Right now we're running two simultaneously, one here, and we've partnered with Newport Downtown Development to do one in Newport.
It's the first, I've done that before. I'm really excited to bring all those businesses on board as well. Good to spend some quality time in Newport too, which is nice.
And we are going to bring those cohorts together on April 15th for kind of a joint wrap party where they're all gonna do a mini pitch and compete for some prizes, which will be fun. Next question. Seems like the people all at home are voting early, but that's okay. Which of the following? Wait, did we get the right one?
Did we hear the answer on the last question?
We did.
Oh, I missed it. Sorry. It's okay.
Which of the following is not an amenity offered at New North? Can you read this?
Yes. One, hyper-locally roasted coffee. Two, a hefty discount at Mosaic Cafe, the restaurant, the bottom floor of this building. C, free hot dogs for all members on Wiener Wednesdays. Or number four, bookable quality time with your favorite Vermont SBDC advisor, Rick Daniels. Pretty strong replicating here for number three.
All right, I think we can look ahead. I think the group
instincts are good. Yeah. It is indeed number three is not yet.
We've had a request for that, and I think especially in the summer months, it would be fun. Next, we're going to talk about some of the events. So this past October, Due North and NVDA partnered to host the third annual Rumble in the Kingdom. It's a business pitch competition that features businesses based in the NEK or that have a product they want to launch in the NEK, have some connection to the region, or some service or product that is going to be impactful to the region. This year, we had 12 businesses pitch, and anything else?
Yeah, it's like NEK's version of Shark Tank, essentially. It's businesses. We don't cater to any specific type of business. Anybody with a business idea who's willing to make a case for it is welcome to apply. We're going to do it again this October, 23rd. So mark your calendars. Be great about it.
I'll say 10th, 23rd, October 23rd. It's going to be fun. And just to throw out there, Catamount Arts has always been a great partner for that. We've hosted it at Catamount the past 2 years, and I'm excited to say we might have the space had almost 175 audience members come this year, people that are interested in funding these businesses, people that are interested in working with them, technical assistance capacity. So it's a really great way for these businesses to connect with investors and folks that can provide services and other help along their entrepreneurial journey.
It's great for the winners, but I think anybody who wants to start a business getting a chance to, you know, make a pitch in front of their communities. Great opportunity, regardless of whether or not they walk away with a prize.
Yeah. Next question.
Ah, which of these was a business, was not? Was not a business, right?
Was.
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 Was actually? Oh, yes, was. Which of these was an actual business in our Kickstart NEK cohort? Number one, a homeopathic ambulance service. Number two, a magical gel to heal cows. Magic is in,
magical.
C, a tank to convert sewer runoff into drinkable water. Or D, a lunar panel that generates power from the moon. Ooh, sewer water's having a moment. Okay. All right. Correct answer is B.
Not killing cows.
And again, magic is in quotes. We're working with a really great business called NEK Biosciences that is in the process of creating a product that will, a gel that goes on cow hooves that will help heal ulcers faster and increase safety of dairy herd, health of dairy herds.
I don't understand the science, it counts as magic, so.
I can talk a little bit about some of the partnerships that we have here. We work very closely with the Vermont Small Business Development Center, so any of the businesses that come through our programming or that just come in the door, have the opportunity to meet with our local Small Business Development Center advisor. who has office hours here, or also will book appointment as needed. We've partnered with Kingdom Trails in the past to offer discounts to folks that purchase passes there or day tickets. Kingdom Trails uses the facility for their board meetings. We have a great this room, and then also downstairs conference room. If anyone is in need of meeting space, we have plenty of that, and it is open to anyone for a rental fee. We also partner with Vermont Sustainable Jobs Fund to produce the forestry or forest business accelerator, it's now called. Similar program to Kickstart NEK, but focused on forestry businesses, and that's open to businesses throughout the U.S. and the applications for that are about to open. If anyone's interested, I can send you that info. You wanna?
Yeah, and KYPN has been a great partner. We hosted some of their events here and offered that support at their events as well. Just to anyway, I'll connect with young members and help them utilize the space. And the folks there have been as well. And a similar capacity with the Chamber of Commerce, working for the leadership in the K has been here, a program that they're running. That just again, yeah, exchange of ideas and spaces. Which was BBSM.
Yeah, we worked with the Vermont Business for Social Responsibility and a lot of statewide organizations. When they want to host something or have an event in Northeast Kingdom, it's great to be able to host them here. We just did something with BBSR last week. It was actually in St. Johnsbury, but we've had them here, and we've had other statewide partners like the Vermont Professional Color Network and other folks have events here. It's a great place to host folks from all over the state and kind of show off the Northeast Kingdom. Oh, no quiz. You're going to keep talking? So one of our new initiatives is the Dinner Circle. It's a monthly dinner series that we have created to sort of support entrepreneurship in the Northeast Kingdom. We have a different topic every month, and we invite 15 to 18 folks that are specifically, we specifically invite them to talk about a specific topic that they may have an interest in or have experience in. There's no specific outcome like or output like a report, but it's a conversation, and the aim is to connect folks around a similar or around a topic and then keep those conversations going outside of that. We just did one here in Lindenville 2 weeks ago at Sweet Basil, and the topic was due north.
Our favorite topic.
So we had a lot of great ideas and conversations about the future of the space inside the walls and programming outside the walls. And then another new initiative is our monthly entrepreneurship sync. It's an online Zoom call with partners throughout the region that are supporting entrepreneurs or that are entrepreneurs. The aim of this is to connect folks in one place once a month to make sure everyone knows about events, programming, and other things that are going on, grant opportunities, other funding opportunities. We launched this in January of this year. It's been going really well. QR code there if anyone wants to join. It's open to everyone. We do, we feature a partner. We do a partner, partner spotlight. Partner spotlight once a month. Give about 10 minutes to a specific partner to sort of give an overview of what the organization is doing and the services and programs they offer. And then we do little 3-minute slots for anyone else that has an update. And then we end with kind of a resource round robin when we try to get every event and program that's coming up in the next month and get folks aware of that. Oh, we have more questions. One more.
Which of these businesses did not take home the big cash prize or best pitch at a past Rumble in the Kingdom? They all did a great job.
And there are other prizes for those of you that haven't been. We do a community impact award, an ability to scale award, obviously the best pitch award, and then we do an audience choice, which is very exciting, if not sometimes controversial.
Big reveal.
The Little Sun Tattoo is the correct answer. This is a tattoo studio that's starting in Peachum, Vermont. However, they are going ahead strong, despite not winning that.
It's actually quite a cool business. It's a destination tattoo full service. You come spend the weekend in Peachum, a nice cabin in the woods, and you can even walk the property and find something that inspires you and get that tattooed as a kind of commemoration of your visit. So, yeah. All right.
What's next? Right. So we'll be having just more workshops, meetups, and community events in space. Have a little bit more flexibility in terms of what we can do under our new management. So hoping to hold more monthly one-off workshops and get more other organizations to come use the space for their events as well. Be doing a pitch kitchen series for folks to kind of help brainstorm their business ideas, maybe get them to a point where they can be presenting them to potential investors and prep for our 2026 Realm of the Kingdom to participate in that. And we'll also be running more Kickstarter UK cohorts. Right now, they're pretty generalized in terms of business, but we're hoping to do some that are focused on specific industries like
recreation,
creative economy. So making more money, become operational self-sufficient.
We're also looking at new partnerships to expand programming throughout the region. Doing the Kickstart cohort in Newport was really exciting. We're in talks to do one in Hardwick coming up, and also to do a youth, a student-based one for high school students this fall, hopefully. Yeah, and then we're gonna continue to support initiatives that support job creation and long-term wealth building in the NEK. It's sort of the main mission here. So, but what happened to the... there's another... Well, this is how you contact us if you need to. We can share the slide deck. We'll welcome everyone to come in, visit, use the space. But there is another, can we go back to the Menti? There's one more quiz question. I don't know how it didn't get into the slide deck. This is a little word cloud exercise. After what you've heard, or if you have other experience with the space, or if you just have ideas, feel free to type it in. And we can share this out later. This can go on during the rest of the meeting if you want to think about it. But when you type it in, the word will appear, and it will get bigger and bigger if multiple people type the same thing. It's pretty exciting. Anyway, this is kind of an ongoing thing. And again, we can share this out after the meeting if folks want to take some time to think about it. But there we go. What ideas do you have for the future of New North, the space, as well as the programming piece? And I think if you click, I don't know if this bar is going to you're not the only one, but people really like that.
And just a reminder, there's grant funding to pay for the 2 years. So working under a large grant that is paying for that during that time, that's a startup time, right?
We're like restarting as a startup ourselves. Yeah, good point. We'll share the word cloud again at the end. I said that 3 times now. Can we click one more? You should be able to, I don't know if this part works. We should have a winner for our quiz. No, yeah. We don't. Is that it? We don't have a winner. Sorry. We had a prize. It's a t-shirt. If anybody wants one after the meeting.
Does anyone have any questions?
How many people can be seated in this?
In this room?
In this room.
This room is about...
five, since it's on.
We have overflow space out there, so we've had bigger meetings and events, but 25 comfortably. And the conference room downstairs, comfortably about 10 to 12.
How are you getting the word out about the availability of the space?
Good question. There has been not many dollars spent on marketing in the past couple of years, and that's one of the things that we aim to change. We're open to ideas. One of the things we've done is, I mentioned partnering with Kingdom Trails. We're hoping to partner with BERT, not for folks. We didn't really talk about the membership model. We do $25 day passes that anyone can just buy online and come in and work here for the day. And then we do monthly memberships for folks that want to come here on a more regular basis. So some of those bigger partnerships, offering discounts to folks to come in for the day, is a really good way to get folks in here and then see the space.
Especially the conference space, because there's not a lot of places for business meetings.
Yes.
That'd be a really good thing to get.
Yeah, you have ideas for all years. Okay. So this room in particular has been pretty underutilized. This was actually created specifically. The whole third floor was set up in 2022 for the Forest Business Accelerator Program, which now is the Vermont Sustainable Job Fund. And it was used for that, and it still is used for that for pieces of it, but it sits empty quite a bit, and it's a really great space for classes. Tables move, you could do yoga, there's all kinds of things in here.
We do have the advantage of being in a very rural area, so if somebody is looking for a co-working space in the area, there aren't exactly, you know, a host of options for them, so we're pretty easy to find that way. But again, discovery is pretty good.
It looks like we have a question online. Yeah. Okay.
I have a question. Is it fair to assume that Annie, you and Owen are the two full-time employees at Due North, or is there more FTEs involved in the project?
Owen is the only FTE. I'm partially involved, and I have a slew of other NVDA responsibilities.
Okay. Yeah, because I was trying to sort that out. And then I also serve on the Northeast Kingdom Broadband Board, and obviously and rightly, that project is focused on bringing high-speed internet to the kingdom. But I do see, when I put my educator hat on, the next step is bringing people into the fold, people who do not have devices and they don't have skill with the internet. And sometimes people have said, oh, your local library. Well, not every town in the Northeast Kingdom has a library or even the capacity in their library to do that kind of help and assistance. I tried to put it in on what are your ideas, but it's only accepts 25 characters. So obviously I'm talking a lot more than 25 characters. Might you see that as part of your mission?
Yeah, we definitely are here to help people with tech. Our mission is really to support businesses, which is a little bit different, and really provide those services that startups and existing businesses that are looking to grow are looking for. But we're definitely open to community partnerships.
Always happy to help.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Eileen.
All right, so we're moving on to the approval of the Crafter Town Plan.
Make a quick, if anybody's interested in any more seltzer, it's still available, but he's going to be heading out. Mm-hmm. Well, does anybody want to
Upstairs or
have him deliver?
I was going to say I'll bring some up if you want, but
very good.
Okay.
I just wanted to let folks know the Vermont Community Development Association is having their annual spring conference, and the topic is housing. There's some really interesting speakers from the private sector talking about how to build housing and what is happening across the state. It is on April 15th, past day, in Montpelier. So if you're interested, these are floating around, scan the QR code for reach out to me. But it's usually a really great networking opportunity and a great way to keep folks from across the state and talk about a very relevant topic.
Well, thank you, Annie. And for the next item on the approval of the Grassbury Town Plan, I'm pinch hitting tonight for Al Salo.
We couldn't be here due to a family emergency. So I'll have this in the next item as well. So for the approval of the Craftsbury Town Plan, the plan was reviewed in July by Kyle Dwyer. There was a regional approval hearing in Craftsbury on January 20th. The review found that their Craftsbury Town Plan met all the goals outlined in Section 4302 of Chapter 117. So now I would just need a motion to approve their plan.
Motion to move.
Thank you, Michael.
Second.
And is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of approving this Craftsbury Town Plan, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, plan is approved. Okay, for the next item, a public hearing to confirm the planning efforts of Brunswick, Craftsbury, Morgan, Wheelock. For this, we need to open a separate public hearing, so I would entertain a motion to open the public hearing.
Awesome.
Thank you, Steve. To the second.
Second.
Okay, thank you, Paul. Okay, so now we can open the public hearing. So the purpose of confirmation, which I'll read the statute. Our regional planning commissions after public notice shall review the planning process of the number of municipalities at least twice during an 8-year period, or more frequently on the request of the towns, and shall so conform the plan or planning efforts when a municipality is engaged in a continuing planning process that will result in planning consistent with the goals contained in section 4302 of this title. Is engaged in the process to implement its municipal plan consistent with the program for implementation under section 4382 of this title, and is maintaining its efforts to provide local funds for municipal and regional planning purposes. So it has been determined that the planning efforts for Brunswick, Craftsbury, Norton, Wheelock are eligible to be confirmed. This would be the second confirmation for Brunswick, Norton, and Wheelock, and the first confirmation for Craftsbury. So we have a motion to confirm the plans, planning efforts.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mike.
Is there a second?
Thank you, Steve. Okay, all in favor of confirming the planning efforts of Brunswick, Craftsbury, Norton, Wheelock, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed or abstained? Okay, planning efforts are confirmed. Right, thank you.
Do you need a motion to come out of the public hearing? Yeah. I can make that motion.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Okay, and now we're going to hear about the regional plan. There's obviously a lot of things that are happening that we're all navigating with the regional plan. We're going to hear the presentation, all the process that we're going through, and Senator Beth has come and he'll be able to answer some questions too to give us what's happening on the legislature. But MBDA was required to do this work. It's work that's been come down to us that we need to do. And so the planners have done a great job doing the work that was required. But hear from them. Anything else you want to add to that?
No, I will just add that all of the regional planning commissions in Vermont are updating their town plans as a requirement of Act 181, which is a legislative initiative. This is a different sort of planning work than we've typically done with our towns. We usually work hand in hand on a single town, working with the community more closely. And this is an entirely different process that we were given to undertake. So I want to first of all thank the planning staff, led by Allison Little, but Liam Abate, Catherine Bristol, Molly Docker, Kyle Dwyer, who left, and then other staff. So
thank you.
Okay,
and you probably have to use your outside voice in here. And a little echoey, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Hi, everyone. As mentioned, Lane and I are going to do an overview of the regional plan. And we just ask that you hold questions for the purpose. So, first, just to give an overview of what a regional plan is, in case anyone's not familiar, it's a reflection of statewide planning goals. To sort of determine how we move forward with growth. There are various elements throughout our regional plan, including housing, transportation, economic development, natural resources, and we'll go more into that later. It also sets out objectives and implementation for the plan's goals. And it also gives an option for the towns to approve their municipal plans. And to do that, as we're just talking about, we just approved some, they need to be in compliance with NVDA's regional plan. So implementation of the regional plan, it allows NVDA to weigh in on Act 250, Section 248 and 248A. It's a reference for municipalities when applying for grants. Within the town plan, which Liam will show later, is so designated areas of tier one before there was application process that you had to do. And it also gives us the ability to grant substantial deference through enhanced energy plans. And so that gives municipalities a voice when there's energy development happening in their town. So this is an overview of the plan's outline. We first have an executive summary and introduction, that includes our vision statement and our planning principles, which are equity, sustainability, and community engagement. Then we move into our land use plan, and then all of the chapters that follow are the elements that are covered. You can see we have three different sections, and within those, these are all the topics or chapters that we cover. So our engagement schedule for the regional plan has been going on for a couple of years. We tried to color code this to make it a little easier to see. So the blue are for public engagement, starting with the survey in the fall of 2023. We then did a second survey last summer and fall, and we also tabled at several events. We held a series of webinars for municipal officials, and the general public also attended those at points. And then our main outreach with municipal officials were attending planning commission boards and select boards for reviewing future land use maps and tier one designation. So a little bit more about our outreach. We held 69 public meetings, which are mostly those planning commission and select board meetings. We had 5 webinars. We met with partner organizations. The 2 surveys that I mentioned, the second one reached about 125 people in our communities. We tabled at 6 community events. We tried to attend free events so that we could reach the most amount of people. And we tried to spread those throughout the 3 counties as evenly as possible. We also have a website or a story map specifically for the regional plan that gives updates. And if you looked at the chapters ahead of time, that's the story map where all the chapters are hosted now. And we also posted on social media and our newsletters to give updates. And then lastly, we had the online future land use map where you can interact with it and leave comments on it. So, so now we have the tiers of Act 250 and who is responsible for them. So tier one are growth areas, and where tier 1A and 1B is, so where possible exemptions lie. And then to skip over to the third, tier 3 is our critical environmental areas, and that's completely controlled by the Land Use Review Board. And so when you take away those 2 tiers, what's left over is tier 2, known as the status quo tier. And that is mainly created by the Land Use Review Board, and that includes the road rule. And we just wanted to mention that in the nearest future, we'll be hosting a webinar with the Land Use Review Board so people can learn more about that and ask them questions. So I'll turn it over to Liam.
So the future land use map covers 12 categories over here. The first two, downtown centers and village centers, are collectively referred to as centers. And then there are two categories of neighborhoods, and these are the areas that qualify for grants and other funding opportunities from the Department of Housing and Community Development. And then down here, there are four categories that are rural lands, that encompasses 97, almost 98% of the Northeast Kingdom, and these areas are not planned for much growth. In between, we have a few other categories, including enterprise areas, which cover industrial areas and resource extraction, as well as recreation areas and transition infill areas, which are areas that have access to water or sewer. This pie chart shows the breakdown of all those categories. Other than the rural lands, they're all very small slivers, so the exact figures have been provided over there. And yeah, that's about it for this slide. So these are the actual future land use maps that we've developed in accordance with our mapping methodology, as well as meetings with 49 municipalities. We've got Caledonia County, Essex County, and Orleans County, and most of these, all the counties, are either the teal rural agriculture and forestry or the green rural conservation categories, and there's some other categories thrown in there. So now we're just going to zoom in on some of the growth areas, starting with Caledonia County. So these are the centers in the dark pink and the bright magenta.
It's a touching screen.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay. Well, anyways, the dark purple and the bright magenta are centers, and then the milder magenta and light pink are neighborhoods in Linden Corner, Hardwick, St. Jay, and then we've got East Hardwick, East St. Johnsbury, and St. Johnsbury Center. And all these areas are seeking Tier 1B status when we submit a municipal plan. We've also got Orleans County and Newport, Derby Center, Derby Line, Barton Village, and Orleans. The town of Barton does not have subdivision regulations, which means that Orleans Village and Barton Village are not eligible for state-recognized neighborhoods, but we've mapped all the would-be neighborhoods either in the village center or in the transition area. And if they were to adopt subdivision regulations, those could become neighborhoods. Newport has a very large proposed Tier 1B area in accordance with their infrastructure and capacity. And then Derby has also quite a bit of a proposed Tier 1B area, which is in accordance with their zoning and their own desire for growth. So here's a summary of the comments we've received from municipalities regarding the future land use map. This is not an exhaustive list, as that would take probably an hour to cover, but just a sort of summary. So several towns, including Craftsbury and Danville and Reigate, wanted more of the farmland in their town recognized as rural agriculture and forestry rather than rural general. As our initial method, some of the farms slipped through the cracks. Burke, Derby, Hardwick, Newport City, and St. Johnsbury wanted their neighborhoods expanded to really incentivize growth surrounding their village and downtown centers, while Glover, Irisburg, Jay, Lowell, Lunenburg, Linden, both Newports, Sheffield, and Troy wanted bigger village or downtown centers in their communities to take advantage of those benefits. On the other hand, Greensboro and Newark wanted smaller village centers than what was initially proposed, and Dansville, Greensboro, and Maidstone wanted smaller resource-based recreation areas surrounding the lakes in their communities. A few other towns wanted no village center, but NVDA is obligated to map a village center in a town if the town has at least one area meeting the criteria. If a town has multiple areas meeting the criteria for village center, only one need be mapped as such. A few other towns wanted a second village center in their town, but the second area did not meet the criteria for village center, so we were unable to map it as such. But if the plans or development in those areas were to change, we could make that a village center in a subsequent regional plan or regional plan amendment. Finally, several towns wanted enterprise areas and industrial zoning districts, but the creation of an enterprise area on the regional future land use map requires actual or planned industrial activity, not merely zoning. So we were not able to oblige that request.
So now we're going to dive into the housing targets portion of the regional plan. So this gives a breakdown of each region throughout the state and then the total throughout the state. And Northeast is right here. And so there are a couple different breakdowns of this. There are goals for 2030 and goals for 2050. And then there's a low and a high end goal based on pre-pandemic and post-pandemic. And just a reminder that these are completely aspirational. They're just a goal. And there is no penalty for not meeting. So this is a breakdown of how the housing targets were allocated by town. So 50% was based on local capacity, including municipal staff and then offsite water and sewer. 30% was based off the future land use map and how much of the land area was in specific categories, like what's in a tier 1A eligible or 1 eligible. And then lastly, 20% is specifically tier 1B eligibility. And so you can see listed are what the town needs to have to be considered eligible. And we did this regardless of a town deciding to opt in on this or not. So this is a table to show our 9 largest housing targets throughout our region. And you can also see that the towns that are included are really our economic hubs and where most people go to work throughout the region. And it's worth noting that the rest of the municipalities have 60 housing units as a target or less.
For 2030.
Yes.
So as for what's next for this plan, we are accepting comments via Google form on the draft chapters, which are available online. And we have the land use and executive summary available on paperback there, as well as a limited number of the full plan. And those comments are accepted through April 5th. And then in 3 weeks on April 16th is the next NVDA board meeting. And that will include a vote on this plan and whether the board wishes for NVDA to submit the plan, including the future land use map and the housing targets, to the Land Use Review Board. If the NVDA board approves it on that day, then NVDA would subsequently submit a pre-application to the Land Use Review Board, probably in late April, if that vote was affirmative in 3 weeks. And that begins a 2-month approximately pre-application phase with the Land Use Review Board, during which that phase we would have our first of 2 public hearings, potentially in June. And then after that 2-month pre-application phase, we would begin our final application to the Land Use Review Board, and that would start a 4 to 6 month actual application phase with the Land Use Review Board. And then if all goes as planned, the Land Use Review Board would grant our plan approval in late 2026. An important caveat is if the Land Use Review Board does not grant our plan approval from their part of the state, so from the state by December 31st of this year, then all Village Center and Downtown Centers designations throughout the region will expire and become void and are no longer eligible for any benefits from the state.
I also just wanted to mention about the housing targets. Out on the table with other handouts, there is a sheet that has all of the towns in the region, in case you want to see it.
So now we are receiving questions from all of you and comments, but first I just wanted to highlight, we have a couple of links on this slide, including the links to the draft chapters of the regional plan, the draft regional future land use map as of about a week ago, and it no longer is accepting comments there. If you want comments on that, we direct you to the Google form, which is the third link. And then any questions about the road rule or Act 250 tier three lands are best directed to the Land Use Review Board, which can be reached at this email address. Thank you all for your attendance at this meeting.
And I was thinking if questions came that really are about what's happening legislatively, maybe Senator Beck can chime in and help us navigate those questions as well. So. We can, if that's the direction you want to go that way. Yeah. And I'm wondering, can we stop sharing so we can see everyone online too? Great. Yeah, let's get it. We're going to get an update first, Senator Beck, and that's a great idea.
So big picture, what's happened is that environmental lobby has used a housing crisis and a supermajority to impose the state on rural landowners, potentially, through the use of the road rule and tier three. And that's where the conversation is right now. There's good stuff happening in the different village centers and designated downtowns to talk about here to free up housing. We're actually able to make them even a little bit better today. But we've really pissed off our landowners that are outside of these purples and magentas. And they're looking at a situation where they're going to, through a road rule or tier three mapping, they're going to lose a lot of their land rights. And they're very, very angry. And I think they have very good right to be angry. So we, various attempts this week to repeal tier three, push out the effective dates for both the tier three and the road rule. We were successful to push the road rule out to 2030, not successful today to push tier three out to 2030. I think it's pushed out to 2028 right now. And that's, kind of where we're at with the whole situation. The rural people are getting organized right now. They're very unhappy. I think people kind of played their hands today in the Senate. Basically, just they view rural lands, especially that they view them as a community and state asset, and landowner rights are secondary, and that's how. A group of probably about a half a dozen in the Senate view the whole thing. They're in the majority right now. So it's a political football. Just getting started. Still got to go over to the House. The rural caucus is gearing up over there to push back. And it'll come back from the Senate. Of course, the governor is sitting there. He's always viewed Act 1 and B1 as a conservation bill, not a housing bill. So he's waiting for it again. And we'll, we'll see where it all ends up. There are a lot of really angry people in the state of Vermont that feel like the state has put their rights and the rights of these different environmental groups ahead of individual landowner rights, and they are really very angry and mobilized. So,
is the UPA perspective as administered by the tax department being represented in your debate? So,
not right now.
No,
and that's a big tax loss of value of property is a big consideration. I think in the big picture, Act 250 was just, some of you have been in this conversation a lot longer than I have. That was something to slow down commercial development, right? And so we got into a housing problem, partially because of Act 250. And there was this move to, hey, let's free up some of our more populated areas so they can actually get back to building houses. And they used that as an opportunity to basically, if you want housing, okay, you want that, but the environmental groups wanted this, and they drove the conversation. They had a supermajority, You know, governor vetoed it, Republicans opposed it, but they had a supermajority. And they basically took that Act 250 that was for commercial development to restrict it, and now they've imposed it on a huge, huge swaths of Vermont. I think it depends on what the maps finally end up with, but I think the road rule in and by itself is going to hit a lot of really high percentages of areas around the state. We're trying to unwind things right now. We want the good stuff in the populated areas that are going to really help build housing. Trying to unwind all this stuff that's going to nail landowners in rural areas of the state.
Will that take local control away? So basically, what I'm always the advocate for, let towns govern themselves.
Yeah.
So our development review board right now, and I was surprised, I wasn't surprised, but I see there's some communities that were wanting to see more conservation in the rural lands, and I appreciate that. But I think each town should be able to decide how they want to, through their own planning and zoning.
Yeah, I would support, I mean, it's a good idea. Effectively, what we've done, we've thrown speech on that too. Potentially with that 250 instead of, yeah, through local zoning, local development.
And that's state level too, by the way.
Yeah, sure is.
So on.
When you look at the increase in the housing numbers, are those new houses all built in these development centers with nothing being built in the rural areas? Is that what's done? Or how are those numbers come?
How we allocated them, do you mean?
Should we go back to the slide?
But you were given a large number to distribute, right?
Yeah.
So it's coming from the state down to distribute.
But when the state looks at this, so my thought is that if it's gonna be this hard to build a house in a rural area, are any of those numbers based on houses going into a rural area, or are they all based in
We do have a percentage for rural general.
It's outside of 181.
Yeah.
And also the state law requires that the majority of the housing targets be allocated to these pink areas, the centers and neighborhoods, but due to the lack of regulation, many of the village centers, I think 52 out of 66 of the village centers in the Northeast Kingdom are not eligible for tier one status due to their lack of regulation.
Because my thought in that is the cost to build in a what's considered a rural area by the time they get permitting. When comes in and wants to build a house, we do an appraisal, so the total cost of building on this piece of property. And if you add to that cost, an Act 250 permit, which I don't know the actual cost, but the septic's a whole other story, but just that additional cost of that Act 250 permit doesn't make that house any more valuable. So it just adds a cost.
Yes, in the construction.
So it's counterproductive to, adding houses, because the houses aren't going to appraise high enough for someone to be able to borrow money to actually build a house. We ran into this with the septic rules because, a septic tank costs $5,000 a leach field, costs you $25,000, but your property's not worth it anymore. So the appraised values were upside down on some of these properties that needed those extensive septic systems. And the actors of permits even going to make that more cost prohibitive.
Yeah.
So again, that's a point they need to understand. Yeah,
I'm on LPAR, which is after rules are made, they come back through this committee and we check them to make sure that they meet legislative intent. We went through that to the governor. There's 2024 building codes and 2020 building codes, and the governor imposed himself and said, we're not doing 2024, we're doing 2020 building codes. And we got the builders, the difference in the cost to build a home between 2024 and 2020 is $60,000 for a three-bedroom home. And of course, the argument from the people that really want the 2024 building codes is that, but you'll get all that money back over time because of savings. Yeah, but how much savings do you get if you can't even build a house? People can't, in this state right now, if you want to build a new home, bring a big bag of cash, knowing that you're going to lose it. Because the value of that home is not going to be what it cost you to build it. And there's just not many Vermonters that are in that situation. Not where we find ourselves.
It's, you know, not only a piece of cost, but you're taking away, you know, the possibility of someone getting gifted land as equity to start the whole process. So it's just not going to happen for all the areas. So it's visions.
Do we have any questions online? I want to make sure you're listening in.
Yeah, I do. Will you be sending that slide deck to all the members of the board? I would appreciate having it. And I'm very curious to know, what is your source of the data around non-seasonal housing? Where did you find that data? Were the towns reporting it to you? And if so, how do they know?
That data is from the Census Bureau's American Community Survey 5-year estimates, and it's not meant to be a definitive source. It's just that when we initially released the housing targets, several people from local planning commissions asked for housing, the existing housing units in towns, and because some of the towns like Burke have a very high number of vacation homes, for that side, we opted to just include the non-seasonal ones per the Census Bureau's own data.
A question for Liam about the comments. You said in your presentation that you received comments on the flu map from a lot of jurisdictions, but my question to you is, you know, are those all going to be addressed before those flu maps get submitted to the WERB, and are these board comments now due before the 5th of April also are you going to have time to deal with all?
So the reason that we have the Google form deadline closed on the 5th of April while the vote is not till the April 16th is to give NVDA staff about a week and a half to respond to comments received in the Google form, including any flu map comments. And we address all comments, but we do not necessarily make changes to all comments. Changes to the map based on all comments. It requires that the comment be consistent with the town's own zoning, with state statute, with the future land use mapping methodology. But when possible, we make the changes requested. But it's not always possible based on those facts.
And so the first half of your question, where Liam listed all the towns, we were having those conversations as we met with the towns and right. Sending back maps to communicate.
Yeah, with so it's ongoing. We got Sutton's comments in real late. Just hoping that it'll be considered.
And the maps are online, so anybody from the public can make comments. If you go back to your select boards and want them to review and to provide comments back, it's there for the public.
I have a question. This is Adam from Sutton. What is the dynamic between the growth in short-term rentals and the proposed housing targets? And is one taking away from the other? And how is that going to be addressed?
Did it even come into play?
It's not been something that we've been talking about in this context per se. I know short-term rentals are a problem. A lot of towns are looking at restricting those. I don't have a strong answer. I wasn't prepared for this one. But I think as people build short-term rentals and the housing units to meet the targets are really year-round residents is the goal. So,
and we also expect that if a town wishes to regulate short-term rentals, they have the right to do so on their own. But that's up to a town on a town-by-town basis, because Other some towns have chosen not to regulate them, and that is their right.
I don't think you're going to see anytime soon a statewide appetite for statewide plans. I think you want to regulate that in your town, in the town.
Because that would have rich people's property rights.
No, well, there's so much variety around the state as far as short term. Some towns don't have any, some towns have some. Some towns like Killington, that's the town. I mean, so there's just too much variety around the state for a state imposed solution. So, but locally,
well, if you have a half acre of land or an acre of land and you're putting a short-term rental on it instead of a housing unit, where are you going to put the housing units?
They don't care where the housing unit goes. They have a short-term rental on their property.
So where are you? So that's the question. Where do you put all of these houses and still maintain the goals of conservation and rural community and everything else? The numbers for the housing, the aspirational numbers are significant. What was the number for by 2050? 172,000. Did I read that right? So if people get more money from a short-term rental and they're not putting in permanent year-round housing, where are you going to put the housing? And why isn't that being addressed?
Well, we've been talking to towns individually about sort of getting creative with developing housing, with the development happening as infill, as accessory dwelling units, things like that, converting spaces, taking a large house and splitting it into three units. All of that counts as additional housing units. So you do have to get a bit creative, because it might not be cost effective to build a whole house. But
how the housing unit also would include any rehabilitated housing units. So if there's currently a housing unit, whether it's an apartment or a cabin or something in a town that currently has plumbing issues or is starting to fall down and someone rehabilitates it to be livable again, that also most definitely counts towards meeting a housing target. Although again, these housing targets are very high and aspirational, and it's not expected that many, if any, towns in the region will actually meet them.
So in comparison to short-term rental, I think it takes the right developer and what their goals are, whether it's personal gains financially, or if they're trying to provide housing for others and build with them. Just depends.
Mark had a question.
Yeah, I had a question for the senator. Yeah. Do you have any visibility through hearings or other means into the land use review board's process and thinking? I'm not aware that the tier three maps are complete, and I don't know if the development rules for tier three areas have been, what state they're in. Is the land use review board responding at all to the unhappiness of many Vermonters with what they've been trashed to do?
No, I don't think so. I mean, that's not a criticism of the Land Use Review Board. They're marching forward, doing what the legislation passed by the supermajority tells them to do, and they're going to continue to do that until they get some different marching orders. Their meetings are all open to the public.
They're all hybrid.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody, I don't know if anybody is criticizing land use report. They are doing their job as it was, explained to them in the legislation.
But they have a lot of latitude. In terms of definition and process.
It lives within that legislation. Your latitude lives within that legislation.
Yeah. Will the rules that they come up with go before LCAR?
They will eventually, yeah. Again, the LCAR check will be whether they meet the legislation.
Not whether you like them or not.
Yeah. No, when you make laws, that actually means something. And we had some doozies that were made 2 years ago that we're trying to unwind right now.
So hopefully you can keep us informed for sure. You know, I've been talking a little bit about once we get through this and the targets that we have for housing, thinking about as a board and as a MBDA, how can we support communities to think outside the box to build houses and what can we be doing to support communities to see that there may be some innovative things happening in different places, et cetera. So I think there's probably a lot more conversation around those housing targets and the role of MBDA to take. Dave, do you have anything you want to add to that?
No, I don't think so. We had thought about having Alex Weinhagen with the Land Use Review Board do a webinar like similar to what he did in Windham County to talk just about tier three and the road rule and its, how it's evolved so far in its application with road rules.
And do you think that would be helpful to be able to ask questions there and hear him?
No, I'm enjoying it.
So we'll continue to try to see if we can schedule that depending on what happens legislatively. Unless you get it thrown out.
It's going to be a football match. 6 weeks.
William, what land use review board document did you send me? What county or what unit was that for?
I sent, I don't remember if it was yesterday or the day before, but I sent to the executive committee of this board the pre-application review letters that the land use review board wrote to two neighboring RPCs. So that's what after at the end of the 2 month pre-application period, when the land use review board is reviewing the plan and the maps as a preliminary step, they write a letter to the regional planning commission. And those two regional planning commissions are the Lamoille County Planning Commission and Northwestern Regional Planning Commission, which are both fellow members of the Northern Vermont Economic Development District.
If anybody would like, it's like 27 pages.
There's a copy out there as well.
It's interesting reading. Much more helpful than I anticipated. Mm-hmm.
The 49-page for the Western Regional was very well organized.
Yeah.
I would commend it.
And the recommendations seem to have a lot of real relevance and weren't just it's unusual for a statement.
Well, thank you, Leo, for your help and all the work that you've done. We really appreciate it. We know it's not easy, so thank you.
You're welcome.
The next topic is the revolving loan fund. We're looking for a couple vacancies to be filled. One is for a calendar. Thank you. We really appreciate it very much. Keep us apprised, please. Looking for a vacancy for the Caledonian County seat, and which would be a 2-year term, and then we have a banking seat. So we just have a couple openings on that if anyone is interested, and maybe you can just talk about the revolving loan fund a little bit.
Yeah, we actually have two revolving loan funds. Neither fund is actually very active. I think for our normal fund, which is backed by community development block grant funds, we maybe get 2 to 3 applications in any 1 year. 3 would be the largest number. And our newest loan program is our EPA revolving loan fund for Rapids Cleanup. And we've had that available for 2 years, and we're just now getting our first application. So there's not a lot of activity if anybody's interested in joining, and try to make it as easy as possible for those who need to participate.
I wanted to move to the bank position if it helps to free up the Orleans County position.
Okay.
We need to move you either there. We can do that. Okay. We've got some flexibility. Anybody else? I'm looking online as well, interested in serving. If you are, just let us know or free to say no.
It's not a lot of meetings.
Yeah.
And we usually do Zoom during the day.
And then Dave, your director's report.
Okay. That was sent out by Jen earlier this afternoon, and just kind of an update from the previous meeting about the activities that we're working on. Obviously, the biggest thing that has taken up the most staff time, of course, was the regional planning and mapping, which Lee and Kevin just discussed. So I give a lot of credit to the staff. It was an immense amount of work, given the size of our region, especially. The other program that's very active, it's one of our kind of premier
economic development program, is our brownfields program. We have funding from the EPA to do phase one and phase two environmental site assessments across the region. We're actually doing a lot of work in towns like St. Johnsbury, Newport, Hardwick, and Barton right now. And some of those assessments are related to housing, some with our affordable regional housing provider, Rural Edge, others with for-profit developers. So the phase one money is actually easy, early-in money that the developer doesn't have to pay. And then the phase two is usually more significant, but it speaks to any kind of testing completed. The other program we're working quite a bit on, and then that's with Carter Finnegan, who's here. It's the Municipal Energy Resilience Program. That was through Department of Buildings and General Services. And we had, I believe it was 39 municipalities that are doing municipal upgrades to bump their buildings. And Carter's been working lately on getting the ones who are implementing the work limits more slowly, to remind them of the deadline and can get that work moving forward. I don't know, Carter, if you have anything to add.
Okay.
Another program we're working with, this is new for regional planning commissions, but the Vermont Bond Bank is interested in collecting information about municipal water systems statewide. They make a lot of loans to these systems, but they don't have a really good handle on all the information for the condition of the system, the age, the extent, the water rates, board bylaws, things like that. So Molly and Carter have both been working on that across the region. Emergency management, this is just kind of a heads up. Normally NBDA would have funding from Vermont Emergency Management to work with local communities on hazard mitigation plans, in past local emergency management plans, and just emergency related activities. But because of changes to FEMA, money was passed down to Vermont Emergency Management, so that in turn, no money was passed down to us. We're trying to keep our emergency management activity at a low level, just so people don't think we've completely gone away. So Molly's working with the two regional emergency management committees in our region, and then as time allows, working with local hazard mitigation plans in select communities where they could use a little bit of help. So ideally, BDM will get the funding, and then we in turn will get ours and go back to normal. Some industrial park activity. We're still working with Vermont Renewable Gas to locate a biomass facility in the St. Jay Industrial Park. Right now, I know they're working with Lindenville Electric on a power purchase agreement. So hopefully they're also moving through the Section 248 process. So hopefully that'll be something will happen there this year. Another project that we're working with, 1227 Industrial Parkway, which used to be the Canadian company VHS Composites, they moved away, and with the property was just recently purchased by another Canadian company, and they're in the metals manufacturing business. They make gate valves for public water systems. So they're we're doing the environmental work right now, and hopefully they'll be up and running sometime later this year. Jack can tell you about this project, but we are now the proud owner of the 8-acre contaminated site in San Antonio. So we had to actually own the property before we could apply for the funding needed to clean it up. So that application is out there. It's nearing $4 million in costs. So ideally, we'll get the cleanup money and then get the property cleaned up and then turn it over to a housing developer who wants to do mass timber type construction, sort of housing. I think it's 26 to 44 units.
On that,
yeah.
We're mentioning Dave before. Out from St. Johnsbury, appreciate the support all over the Dave's thought. It's pretty amazing. But if the town or MBD does not get the grant, the cleanup grant, the way the deed is written, it's probably reverts back to the original owner. So MBD just ended up on the hook. We're going to get the grants.
So we had a development agreement with the town of St. Johnsbury and the developer, and the, basically the town and the developer are covering all of the NDDs carrying holding costs until we get the cleanup grants. And then Annie and Owen talked about the Due North co-working project, so that was basically my last update, but I'm happy to answer any questions anyone may have. Carter, do you want to say anything on the MERC program?
Sure. So MERC implementation has begun. We're about a year and about a quarter end, and 39 municipalities and the NAK got implementation grants totaling close to $11.3 million. Across those 39 municipalities, 84 buildings were addressed. And I can speak to, I know, like, first thing I work with Mike to advance. And I think last year, a lot of planning and intentional prep work was done. And I just want to shout out, if you're not really aware of MERC, but it's happening in your town, a lot of times it's going on volunteers, whether it's the select board or planning commission or just people that are like, hey, I'll take this on, because the funding was targeted towards low capacity towns. So those that have only a town clerk part-time and things like that. So what that meant was towns got these really solid awards, and then to put them to use has, it's taken a lot of planning and coordination effort within your municipality. So I'm happy to talk at length about how this has rolled out in your town, because likely it has. And it should wrap up by the end of this year, at least the end of the calendar year is when the funding is supposed to be finny. So yeah, a lot of things are going to be occurring this. I actually know of a lot of things that are happening right now. So whether it's insulation, heat pumps, battery, solar, just trying to make these buildings more resilient.
Thanks, Carter.
It looks like there's some questions online, Eileen.
On the MERC program, I'm looking at the director's summary here. Can you finish the last sentence? It says additional outreach is underway for those towns that haven't made significant progress. So I was just wondering what that sentence might.
So I'm not sure how it got cut off, but it's so they don't miss the deadline for using the funding.
Okay, and then my other question is, in the work that you're doing now on the municipal water systems inventory, what's your kind of general feeling of how this is shaping up? And the reason I'm asking, I'm a Wheelock resident. We have a fire district. I'm not on it. I have been a bit concerned about how, I don't know, creaky, wonky it is. And I recently attended a meeting about the sidewalks for in Sheffield, and then they have a water district as well, and that sounded not too dissimilar to Wheelock's. But so I'm just wondering, is there a picture emerging of concern for municipal water districts in the Northeast Kingdom?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and answer that. Thank you for the question. So to be perfectly honest, there is a very wide range of water systems in the Northeast Kingdom. We have met with about half of them at this point, I would say, and they range from 20 to 30 users to several hundred. And a lot of them, as Carter said, with some of these other boards, it's volunteer for the prudential committees. There's varying levels of sophistication in the systems, and there are lots of different positions open for operators. That's one of the big blank spots with water systems in our area. And we don't have a complete picture yet. We're still working on an info gathering, and what we hope to have is a matrix of what the region needs and how we can tackle some of these projects on a larger scale to hopefully save money, or if there are different resources, either from the fund bank or other grants, that we know which systems need the most help and where to direct those funds. So Carter and I are both working right now on meeting with all of them that we can, and once we get that information, we'll be able to kind of take the next step and some of these systems.
Thank you.
On the list is, you know, my
memory. Yeah, I will reach out.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that, because it's really helpful to kind of know which ones you should speak to more quickly. So that's a really helpful tip. Thank you for that. We'll put Wheelock at the top.
Great. Right. Any other questions? So seeing no other business, just wanted to do one quick reminder is that April 16th, we do need to have a full board meeting, because that's when the regional plan, we will not have voted, we're going to send it to the clerk or not. So just want to, that typically isn't a full board meeting, but we will need to have it, but we'll make sure we have online accessibility so that folks don't have to drive want to make sure to have that. Okay. So being no other business, can I hear a motion to adjourn?
I do have one point.
Oh, sure. Yes, go ahead, Paul.
I know that everybody's really busy and that this is a huge job to review, and it's a very short time frame. And I just want to emphasize to you how important it is to submit well thought through comments about the plan and also about the future land use map. This is going to be basically your last opportunity. And the planning staff needs to understand what your concerns are. And so take the time, please, to go through this on behalf of your jurisdiction.
Anybody else before we adjourn? So I'll take a motion to adjourn. Mike, thank you. Anybody want to second that? All those in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned. Thank you, everybody, for coming online as well. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We all have a good day.